Good morning. Truly worthy is the Lamb. That's the lyrics of that wonderful intro, a melody that we hear every morning. Well, God bless you on today. Today's Thursday, and it's February the 13th. And, of course, it's a brand new day. We thank God for it. We thank God for you and for your wonderful time of rest that you had during the past night, if it's now morning in your region. Well, welcome to Global Time with Christ Jesus, and we're here to relate to him through his spirit in his presence. I'm your host, Aubrey L. Gregory, and I'm awesomely favored, divinely powered, and blessed. Just a little while ago, I was watching the snowfall as we were in the midst of a so-called snowstorm. And so the snow is on the ground already. Much of it has hit the ground already. And I'm looking at it, and gratitude just filled my heart as I thought of how God's mercies are much like that. We've had snow on the ground for days, for weeks. Excuse me. For weeks we've had snow on the ground, and it seems like ever so often it's being refreshed. So we have a fresh coating of snow on the ground, and it's supposed to or scheduled to be somewhere between 8 and 10 inches at the end of its downpour, so to speak. But I thought about how great God is. If the snow were his mercies, well then, his mercies are new every single morning. It seems like every morning we're getting fresh and new snow. I trust that you are housed. You're not homeless. I trust that you're warm and comfortable. And today, please listen to the Let's Follow the Wisdom and Advice and Counsel of those that have to do with giving us the weather report, and those who are taking care of our streets or highways, etc. Try not to overdo or to be brave. Just follow instructions. And pray for those who are in other areas that are having it worse than we are. In fact, places like Georgia and North Carolina and South Carolina, they are having it tough because what they received was a lot of ice. And the ice is bringing down power lines and trees and so on. We're not getting ice. We're getting powdered snow, which is a little different. And so I spoke with folks on yesterday in the Atlanta area, Georgia, state of Georgia, and up until yesterday they were fine, and that was early yesterday, and so on. So God will bring us through. Don't worry about it. Try not to be anxious for anything. God is bringing us through. Well, once again, good morning to you, and welcome to our prayer cast, and let us go right to prayer. I'd like to open this blessed session that we have here today. It's a privilege, an honor, and certainly there are some folk awake. Well, thank you. It's just wonderful to be up early in the morning like this. It really, truly is great. I'm sure you do as well. Let us pray, and let us invite the presence of God. I know he's with us, but let us welcome him. Father, we thank you for this day. It's a Thursday morning.
Yes, Father.
It's yet before dark, before daylight. It's yet dark. And we thank you, Lord, and we thank you that we have a warm place to stay, and you've provided for us overwhelmingly we even think of those that right now that may not have a place of their own, a place to call home.
And thank you.
We pray that you would just move in a mighty way on their behalf to provide them, Lord, open doors, literally, that allow them a place to stay and food to eat and so on. Give us the compassion that we need. Give everyone that has to do with the train station, the transportation hubs, where people seek shelter from the weather, that they would be able to stay, Lord, and for warming environments where people can stay, protect their body from the ravages of the cold and the snow. Father, we thank you this day. Look to you for all good things come from you. We ask you there, Father, to receive us, forgive us from our sins. We come with thanksgiving. Wash us, cleanse us.
Cleanse
us and take us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you today.
Thank you,
we can approach you and be forgiven and be cleansed and be washed, made whole.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for this brand new day. And we know, Lord, that what you've released with it is for our good and for our growth and development and for our strength. And certainly for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Today, I just want to share with you quickly some notes on praying with power. And, of course, that's our focus and forte when we come together like this. Prayer assumes a relationship with power. And the power ingredient in prayer is faith. Our faith being the substance of things hoped for, the
evidence
of things not seen. Is there something that you hope for, but at this time there is no visible manifestation? Then humbly trust God. Here's where their
credit card paid off.
That
lift.
Yes, amen, amen. It lifts, faith lifts our heart above the challenges of life and brings into view God's resources and victory. So we're going to receive any prayer requests that you have. We're about to open your lines. We're doing that now and allow you to be heard. So that you can voice that praise report and or prayer request, because now is the time we make it known. It's 6:10 and time is moving forward while the snow is falling outside. We're warm inside. But now is the time to make your request known. Let us see what the source of confidence is based on. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 in verse 32 through 34, here's what is recorded there. And check this out for confidence. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? God is my strong fortress. He guides the blameless in his way and sets him free. He makes my feet like the hinds, meaning firm and able. He sets me secure and confident upon the heights. That's taken from 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 32 through 34. So there's our confidence. We know that God is our rock. There's no other God. And he's our fortress. And he guides the blameless in his way and sets him free. And he makes my feet like the hinds, firm and able. He sets me secure and confident upon the heights. So that is why we can come with our prayer request, because of that confidence. That is the power behind any prayer, our faith in Him, that whatever it is that He wills in heaven, we want it to be also in the earth. So let us know what's on your mind at this moment, what God has placed there. Now is the time to ask. Imagine if you had one last opportunity for a prayer request, what would it be at this moment? Because all we have, listen now, all we have is this moment. That's what we possess. We don't have anything. We can't count on later today. We can't count on tomorrow. We would love to experience those moments. However, they are not guaranteed. What we have now is what we have now. So, what's your prayer request? Your line is open.
Praise
Speak
the Lord.
It.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
God bless.
Welcome.
God bless everyone. Thank God for giving us the heart and the mind to pray on this morning, to lift His name and to come before
Right
Him.
Up.
Praise the Lord. I have actually two prayer requests this morning. One is for my friend Rosemary, who passed on December a couple of months ago, to pray for her family that she left behind, her husband and the two children. One is, the older one is a 21-year-old young lady, and the boy is 15. The boy seems to be doing pretty okay. The girl, on the other hand, is having some issues, which naturally, you know, we would think that would happen. But just lift her up in prayer this morning, because apparently she doesn't have too many friends.
Okay.
And we want to agree that, you know, she would find a place with people her own age, but also people that would be able to minister to her, older people, that godly people to minister to her. I'm going to do my best to be there for her. I've spoken those words to her already, and just let the Lord would place people in her space that would give her the direction that she needs. At 21 years old, a young lady, and you know, you're without your mother, even though we know that God is the one that is in control, you know, but just pray her strength, that God will lead her and guide her in the way that He wants her to go and to grow, in Jesus' name. And also my second prayer request, which was a burden actually that was laid on my heart on yesterday, but time waxed and I wasn't able to bring it forward, but just to pray for the saints of God that are going through financial difficulties, financial challenges in this season. Just lift them up in prayer and agree that they would know and understand that God is on the throne, and everything that we need, He has already provided, so that we would probably need to do some rethinking of our spending, you know, to be able to work and manage our finances in a better way.
Yes. Well, thank you for that, those prayer requests, and we want to bring those before the Lord. We want to bridge the gap where they exist. Let us touch and agree concerning Rosemary's family, in particular her husband and her two children, as they are yet in bereavement, missing their mother and wife and a companion and all of those things, which are natural to the separation by death in any kind of family situation. We also want to pray that God's will be done in the heart of believers and saints who are experiencing financial stress, if you will. The Lord said, be anxious for nothing, but that's under the condition that we are doing what he said that we should do. You know, it's interesting, as I was preparing for this prayer cast, it just came to me that we should pray for the tithing promise that we have. And I just didn't put it on the list because right away in my spirit, I said maybe that's for another time. And but here you go, requesting that we pray for those that are in financial difficulty. And often that is the reason. It's because we are not doing what we know we should do. In other words, we're not practicing the principles. And tithing is certainly one of them. We do our part and give back to the Lord what belongs to him. And then we have the ability, because he's the one that gives us the power to get wealth. He gives us the ability to go forward, to keep 9/10 of what comes to us. And 9/10 of anything is the greater part. No, it absolutely is. The tithe is his. So we should set aside the tithe. And it's a command. It's scriptural. And God gave his only begotten son. He gave. He gave. And he's teaching us the same thing. So when we bring our tithes to the Lord, we are actually following his pattern. So let us pray for what is the name of that family again? Rosemary's family, their family name?
Gittins.
The Gittins, yes.
Gittins.
I should not forget that. I remember I had a school principal when I was that age in school, and his name was Mr. Gittins. Never forgot that. Father, we thank you that we can approach your throne without fear. And we come today on behalf of the Gittins family. Father, you know precisely their heart's condition right now concerning missing their mother, the husband missing his wife. We thank you right now, Lord, that she's gone to be with you. But they are in the earth, but they are not simply in the earth. They are in your hand. You have provided your love from which no one or nothing, anything, can separate them from your love. And Father, we pray for each and every one of them right now that you would send a sense of comfort, a sense of peace, a sense of looking up and forward, a sense of confidence that you are there for them. Bless them even on this day. Let them see the falling of the snow as a falling of grace and mercy upon themselves. Let them know that as the snow comes from above, so does your love and grace and compassion. We thank you, Lord. Bless them on this day. Cause them to look up in your direction. Cause them to rise in faith and in strength, trusting you like they have never done before. In the name of Jesus, bless them. Saturate their spirits and their minds with peace, your peace. It's a peace like no other. But just let it be. Let their atmosphere cause and charge their atmosphere with your presence and with praise and with thanksgiving. Bless them. And Father, we pray for the saints that are challenged financially. Father, we pray that they will turn their eyes to you. They would look to you. They would follow your counsel, your advice. You tell us to give and to give you 10% of our earnings. We therefore purpose to set aside the tithe because it belongs to you. When we bring our tithes to you, you promise to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings so great that we won't have enough to take it in. So thank you that the fruit of our ground is abundant because you guard it from being destroyed by the destroyer, and it will not fail. It will not fall before the time of its ripening. So Father, we honor your name. We thank you that our names are written in your book of remembrance. We are yours, and we get divine, supernatural love and care from you. Thank you for rescuing us from the domination of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of your Son. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we thank you, Lord. Give us the courage. Strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I've just been quickened to something. I just need to make a note of it for you and for us. You know, Malachi 3 talks about the windows of heaven being open so that we may receive a blessing that we're not able to contain. And here's what it means by that. And this may help to strengthen our faith. Abraham paid the tithe to the king of Salem. It's recorded in the book of Genesis. And because he tithed faithfully, here's what the overflowing blessing that he was not able to contain at that time. Here's what it is. Because of his faithfulness in the tithe, God had said and made a covenant with him after that, that his seed would be as the sands and his seed would be as numerous as well as the stars.
Yes.
In other words, many were blessed because of his obedience long after he was gone. And that is true because we are of the seed of Abraham because of our trust in God through Christ. We have a circumcised heart. So we are being blessed even now because of Abraham's obedience. Here's the importance of what I'm saying. Your children and your children's children. Come on. Sometimes we're short-sighted, so short-sighted. I can tell you, my mother was a tither.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to tithe from her. I watch her tithe ever since she received Christ, which is in 1955. She was always generous and a giver, but she stepped into the principle of tithing way back then and tithed faithfully ever since. And I can say right now that I'm doing what I'm doing in this moment because of her faithfulness. And we all are being blessed because of her faithfulness. Are you following what I'm saying? This is larger than our little pocketbook. Yes, much larger. Because our nearsightedness can be so devastating that we miss God's larger plan. And so my mother's children, me and my siblings, are receiving today what God has done by my mother's obedience. So you're concerned about your children, you're concerned about your grandchildren, you want to see them saved, you want to see them walking after God. Well, tithing is part of it.
Amen.
Tithing is part of it.
Pastor, I just wanted to say also that I am so grateful and thankful to the Lord for leading me to a place where I can understand that, because ever since I've known myself, my growing up, my parents always took us to church, had us in church, and all my years in going to church, I would give offerings, but I never knew, no one ever taught us about, at least the churches that I went to, never taught us anything about tithing until I came to the North Gospel Tabernacle. I thank God for that teaching and the understanding and importance of being obedient in tithing. And I'm not the only one. I've spoken to a couple of people that have come from the West Indies. Also, I don't know about other parts of the world, but in the West Indies, and we were not taught about the obedience and the importance of tithing. So I thank God for that. I thank Him. I thank Him every day.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. It is a supernatural principle. And I can tell you, as a people of African descent, and how we're presently positioned in this society and in the rest of the world, for us to excel, we're going to have to tithe ourselves out of poverty.
Amen. Yeah.
That's how it works. Because we're coming from through and from the experiences we've had of being oppressed and being made last and considered last, we tend to have a survival mentality where we scramble for every crumb and we want to eat every crumb. But salvation has come to deliver us from that mentality. That's what salvation is about. It includes deliverance in all our affairs, the renewal of our minds from one of slavery, where you scramble all for every crumb and keep every crumb without having an understanding of the principles that God has put in place for us to prosper.
Giving we shall receive.
Yeah.
Amen.
Imagine a farmer getting a harvest initially, and then he eats everything, including his seed. There's no possibility of another harvest. He's eating his seed. You can't eat your seed. You can't eat 100% of the harvest.
Jesus.
And expect more harvest, more fruit. You just can't. It doesn't work in the natural. It doesn't work in the spiritual. So, you know, let us consider what God has done and ask Him to help us to practice the principle. Begin to open the hand, not keep a tight fist. Because we cannot take anything out of the world. We didn't bring anything in, and we can't take anything out. You know, I was at a funeral. I think it was last year. I can't remember what point in last year. It might have been the spring or something. But I was at a funeral, and I watched as a particular ceremony was performed at this funeral. And I watched this certain group, three of them stood around the casket with their backs to the audience, so to speak. And I'm consciously observing every detail. And I watched them come together shoulder to shoulder, where you almost... It would be challenging if you're not looking carefully for you to see what's going on in front of them from the position of being seated in the audience. So I'm looking, and I watch the leader of this group takes something from out of his pocket and sticks it under the body. And I never forgot that. That was part of their ceremony. You can't take anything with you. Nothing from this world, once you leave, will suffice. No ceremony, nothing. You have to have had closed and made your account sure and settled with God before you close your eyes.
Amen.
Consciously. And you came into the world with empty hands and a scream, and you leave out silently with empty hands. So I just share that as a picture of, you know, reality. So if you are struggling today, tithe. You say, well, how can I tithe? Well, you know what the truth is? You can't afford not to.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can't afford not to. Give back to Him what is Him. Otherwise, you're a thief. The scripture says, shall a man rob God? Oh, yeah, folks do it all the time. Yeah. In other words, they steal from God. They steal what they should be, what's His. The tithe does not belong to us. Only 9/10 of what we earn or what we're blessed with belong to us. Just 9/10, not 10/10. 9/10. 9 out of 10. Not 10 out of 10. So that's just a little bit of supernatural math. Well, thank you for your prayer request. And I believe God is speaking to someone's heart today. So, because He wants to bless them. However, they've tied up and kept the windows of heaven closed by disobedience. That's how it works. That's how it works. Well, God knows my situation. Yes, that's why He says obey. Yeah, that's how it works. So may God bless you richly. Whomever just got a word of deliverance from that. You know, people are funny when you talk about money. And so it's never my intent on this prayer cast to be emphasizing money and so on, although it's a necessary conversation. But so God kind of wanted us to say something about that today, because it flashed on me this morning, and And, you know, as I listen to the Lord for things to pray about, for our prayer agenda, you know, and that came up. And, but I more or less backed away from it, but the Lord didn't allow that. He didn't allow that, because there are people that I know of and people that you know of that are experiencing tremendous financial difficulty. And it's not always green cash falling in the window. What does a window do? A window allows light in. We need light to see how to move and what to do and where to go. And so he said he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Light is a blessing. So we could see how to run our situation. Light. Yeah. So if you can't see where and how to go, it's because you don't have a window open above you. You have no light coming in. Read Malachi chapter 3. It talks about that. And that's not the only scripture. That's one of the scriptures. Chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Then you may want to read chapter 3, same chapter, verse 16 and 17. And then you may want to read Colossians 1, 13. Yeah, all of those talk about what belongs to God and how we can get God's blessing. Hallelujah. Well, we've just got a few more, just a couple of minutes, and I want us to remember those that are sick among us. We're lifting up Melvina Campbell, who's in recovery. We're lifting up Michelle Lewis, Etta Bullock, Michael Gregory, and others. And then we're praying for God's strength. Keep these in mind for Tammy Khalil and Amelia Bevins, and so on. Don't forget, next week, Thursday, 1 week from today, we will be at the Willing Heart Center on 555 Martin Luther King Boulevard at 8:30 a.m. in the morning for a very special leaders breakfast meeting. And when I say leaders, we're talking about leaders of our cities, of our city, Newark. We are coming together to hear from God on what strategy and procedures we engage in to dislodge, topple, and dethrone the demon prince over our city. So we're praying for our city so that it would have peace, so that the murders, the bloodshed that goes on among gangs, among the young people, the youth, and so on, will not continue, and that all kinds of corruption would be abated or stopped. So that's at 8:30 a.m. Please pray for that. Cover that with prayer, just because of the seriousness of the issue. And then the Body of Christ meets on June 8th at 4:30 in the afternoon. The Body of Christ, over 50 churches or so, will be gathered in Branchbrook Park here in the great city of Newark. We are part of that, and that's a Sunday afternoon at 4:30, June 8th. And we'll be there. That's Pentecost Sunday, and we're looking forward to that. So we want God to pour out His Spirit upon us, just like He did in the early days of the church on the first Pentecost day. Well, we're celebrating that June 8th in Branchbrook Park, 4:30 p.m. Make a note of that. Well, let me bless you as we leave, and we have one more day this week in which to assemble for prayer, and that's on tomorrow. It's Friday. Also want to remind you that tomorrow we get to meet twice. We'll have a special prayer cast at 7:30 in the evening. The snow won't stop us from praying. We won't. We are not able to get together and assemble at our place of worship, but however, we will do it in a virtual space, in cyberspace, by dialing in 714-459-3963 at 7:30 on tomorrow night, and we're on for an hour until 8:30. And bring your prayer requests, and we will be there to agree with you in the presence of God. So, be blessed today. Watch your step. Be safe. And let me bless us with a short benediction. It's taken from Philippians 4 and 20. And it says, "Now unto our God and our Father be glory forever and ever. And amen." May God bless you richly. See you on tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock again. And thank you for joining us today. I pray your safety all day today. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Amen.
Awesome. God bless you, Sister Liz. Love you all.
God bless you. Thank you. Okay.